As we continue in the series, Rooted in Christ, and you find your place in Colossians chapter 1, let's say together the verses on the banner here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Let's say it again. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Our theme verses for 2017. This morning, in the series Rooted in Christ, we're going to talk about being rooted in His holiness. Rooted in His holiness. And so, in Colossians chapter 1, we will begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, say the next three words with me, to the saints. Let's say that again. To the saints and faithful brethren, which are at Colossae. Lord, your help this morning. Lord, this is your word. And you are a thrice holy God, the absolute epitome of holiness, the source of all perfection, without even a single grain, a single particle of corruption or sin. You are holy. Help us, Lord, in this place to tremble. To tremble before your holiness. To take our shoes off as we stand before your presence. To recognize who we are in light, as Isaiah did there when King Uzziah died and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his glory filling the temple. And he said, woe unto me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And yet, the seraphim from off the altar brought a hot coal and brought it and touched his lips and said, your lips are cleansed. Where normally contaminated things would spread contamination. When we come in contact with you, you cleanse. You were willing to touch the leper, to cleanse him. You were willing to come in contact with the most heinous of diseases of their day, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to dine with sinners, because you came to cleanse, to deliver. Spirit of God, please work. Your will, your name, your glory, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Rooted in his holiness. The term holy means to be set apart. To be set apart for sacred use. I have three main points this morning, but I'd like to read a little more scripture first. We see here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, we see that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. He says, grace unto you and peace from God the Father, from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice verse 10. That ye might walk worthy, as he writes to the saints and the faithful brethren. He says in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy. That's my prayer, that's God's prayer. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then please notice forward to verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you, say it with me, holy and unblameable, and also with me, unreprovable in his sight. Wow. We see three main things taking place. And so, in the rooted in his holiness, let's go forward. I'm not sure. Okay, there we are. And I'm just going to give you all three points here. Just let's get all three of them right there before us. I'm not sure why my clicker isn't working properly, but there we go. That's the message. Rooted in his holiness. I see throughout the book of Colossians here, I see in just the verses we read, we see all these three stages in the area of holiness. We see who I was before Christ. Notice, if you would, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated. We were alienated from God. Enemies by wicked works. It says here, now hath he reconciled. And so here we are, contrary to God, fleshly living. Wicked works, this is who I was before Christ. There's a lot of other scriptures from the rest of the Bible that we could describe this even further, but enough said that who I was before Christ, I followed the flesh. I did that which was contrary to God. I did that which was unwholesome, unholy, vile, corrupt, prideful, selfish, self-centered, self-serving. That's who I was. That's who people are. Even the best of the world's best, the best of the sinner's best, is still, even the plowing of the wicked, is sin, because he's doing it apart from God. He's doing it in his own self-will. And it stinks. He's separated from God. But God came to us. God came to the aliens. To the enemies, when I was his enemy, he died for me. And so, who was I before Christ? Not a pretty picture. Alienated from God, headed for hell. Who am I in Christ? Verse 2 says, to the saints. I think between the saints and the faithful brethren, we have possibly some fall into one category and not the other. The ones who are the faithful brethren fall into both categories of verse 2. But there are some in Colossae that were saints, but not faithful brethren. And there we see the who I am in Christ, but not the right who I am for Christ. There's the imputed righteousness of, I trusted Christ as a sinner, I trusted Christ as my Savior, he made me a saint. My sins are cleansed, I am washed in the blood, I am his child, I am in Christ, I am a saint. But it doesn't always mean I'm saintly. And when we think about being rooted in holiness, we need to make sure that on step three, as it were, in the practical holiness, not just the imputed righteousness of Christ on my account, but the practical holiness of who am I for Christ? I want you to consider not your neighbor. Let's not be looking at our neighbor and see, boy, what does she need to improve on? Boy, she could really use this. I wish so-and-so was here. No, let's consider. Lord, you see, because when we look at God, when a Moses saw God, he wasn't thinking about Aaron. God. Oh God. He fell. He took his shoes off, as God said. He said, the place where you're standing is holy ground. Humble yourself. Anytime someone has seen a glimpse of God, they have lowered themselves to the ground, as it were. They have taken self-sufficiencies off. They have made themselves vulnerable. They were brought low. Who am I in Christ? Well, I'm a saint. But notice now, if you would, there in verse 12, we notice, I'll go ahead and put my shoes on. Gives me another 3/4 inches. But let's notice again verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That's point number 3. Who am I for Christ? God calls us as saints, he calls us as who we are in him to walk worthy. To walk worthy unto all pleasing. Are we walking in holiness, in practical holiness, being faithful in every good work? Notice verse 11, it tells us the source of this. It's strengthened with all might. You see, an important thing to remember is that holiness in our life doesn't come from self-determination. It doesn't come from New Year's resolutions. Personal holiness comes from walking with the Savior. It comes from the strength of God in my life. Just like a person can't get saved. You talk to somebody who does not want to go to hell. I mean, they absolutely don't want to go to hell. They understand hell is a real place. It's a horrible place. It's a hot place. It's an eternal place, and I don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven, but you know what? They can't get to heaven on their own. They can't. It's impossible. They need God. There's no way. They can, you know, try to get to heaven all they want, and people are, mind you. People are. They're trying to ease their conscience by doing better and doing good works and helping others. And those are all good. It's good to help other people. I mean, it's not good to be mean, obviously. It's good to care about others. Those are good things. But not a single person can get to heaven without one other person. His name is Jesus. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. It's only through the price he paid to cleanse our sin. It's only through identification with him, with his death, his burial, his resurrection, his power, his victory, his price, his holiness. It's only through him, his character, who he is, and what he did for us. It's the only way to be saved. By faith alone, and Christ alone is the way of salvation alone. And the same is true for holiness. Practical holiness on level 3, if you will, on point 3. Who am I for Christ? The only way that I can be rooted in his holiness is if I'm rooted in him. It's got to be his power in me. His power working in me. And so verse 11 says, strengthened with all might. In verse 10, he says, oh, I pray, my prayer is that you would know God's will, verse 9. And my prayer is that you would walk pleasing to the Lord, walk worthy. But he says, oh, my prayer is that you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience so that you can endure hardship and suffer long with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us, read these next words, hath made us meet. See, he made us meet. He made us acceptable meat to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And notice verse 13, read it with me. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Get that. He hath. It's Jesus. It's the one who laid down his life for us. It's the one who gave his Son for us. God the Father made it possible. Who hath delivered us? He's delivered us from the, what's that next word? From the power. The power. We no longer have to live in the flesh. We no longer have to follow the stubborn will. In Christ, we've been liberated. And that's what the Word of God teaches throughout. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, when we are bound by darkness, by the wicked one, by wicked things, it's binding, it's imprisoning, it's jail. It hinders, it destroys, it. But God came to deliver us from that. From the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're children, we're heirs, we're sons, we're saints. So we see these three aspects throughout the scripture and in many passages all bunched together here in Colossians. So notice again, if you will, Colossians chapter 1 here, verse 21. We've read this verse already, but I'd like you to just notice it again. And you're going to notice these three stages in the three verses. Verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. See, we've been made right through Christ. We've been made right. The wrongs have been made right. We are saints. We are right with God. We're no longer aliens, no longer enemies. Reconciled in the body, verse 22, of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see all three steps here. You see the who I was before Christ in verse 21. And you also, in the last of verse 21, you see a little bit of who I am in Christ, reconciled and made holy in verse 22. And then also that we're unblameable, and we see we're entering into number three, point number three, for who I am for Christ, not who I am in Christ in terms of the applied holiness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus. But we see in the end of verse 22 and then in verse 23, we see the who I am for Christ, the opportunity for the saint to be saintly, the opportunity for the saint to live holy, the opportunity for the saint to be what God wants them to be. And so he says, if ye continue in the faith. I don't believe for a moment that God in the word here is threatening anyone to remove their salvation. But I do believe, and I'll show you from other scripture here, that he's talking about our point three of who am I for Christ. If I as a saint am not living for Christ, there's consequences. And so let's see what the scripture would have to say. Notice down, we'll just go down just a little more, verse 28, if you'd go down there. We had the verse 27 where we preached several weeks ago on Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then verse 28, whom we preach Christ. Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we preach Christ? Why do we preach the Word of God? Why are we trying to bring people to the Savior? Why are we trying to help saved people to walk with Jesus? Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says we want to present people complete. We want them to get saved. We want them to grow. We want to present them mature in Christ. Perfect. Notice verse 29, what the apostle goes on to say, whereunto I also labor. Whereunto I also labor. And then notice God's ability, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. It's Christ that makes the difference for a lost soul. And it's Christ that makes the difference for a saint to be saintly, rooted in his holiness. You see, it's his holiness. It's his power. Now notice chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read the verse with me? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, we have, if you are, then. There's a practical side to this thing of Christianity. There's a practical side, not just, hey, praise God, I'm saved. You know, I got my fire insurance. It's all taken care of. I got the policy written up. Well, thank God for our salvation. But God calls us unto holiness. As he which hath called you is holy, 1 Peter says. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Whether it's the way what we're wearing, the way we dress, the way we talk, the things we laugh at, the things we entertain ourselves with. Is it holy? Is it godly or ungodly? Is it vile or is it wholesome? Is it edifying or is it destructive? What is it? In the things we conduct ourselves in. In your lives, in your home, as a church. Is it saintly or is it ungodly? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so, God calls us to live for him as Christians. I speak to the believers this morning, although I touched on the gospel. God wants us to be saintly. He wants us to be the faithful brethren. Not just the saints. Not just the positionally holy in Christ, but the practical holiness. When we think about rooted in Christ, God wants his people, whether we're 12 years old or whether we're 90 years old, God wants his people to be holy, to be holy. And so there is practical righteousness, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now notice, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Noticing with verse verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I've preached the gospel to you, and another buildeth thereon. Paul said, you know, I've brought the gospel to you. You've trusted Christ. Others are going to teach you and help you to grow. Another is building thereon. But then he directs the attention to us individually, personally. He says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, upon the foundation of salvation, upon the foundation of point number two, who I am in Christ, of the redeemed, of the reconciled, of the saint, of the believer. How are we going to build? That's what he says. What are you going to do with your Christian life, with your salvation? He says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's gonna all be shown up one day for what it really is. Every man's work, every man's doings shall be made manifest. They're going to come to light, for the day shall declare it. The day when the lights are turned on, when there's no dark spots anymore, there's no blurring vision anymore, when the day comes. Speaks of the day of the judgment seat of Christ. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. This is not hellfire. This is not judgment fire. This is the refining fire that sees whether it's wood or whether it's gold, that sees whether it's hay or whether it's silver. You see, when gold goes through the fire, it gets better. When the heat's turned up, when the lights are turned on, as it were, more of the heat there, but it just gets better. The impurities come to the top, can be skimmed off, and it's purified. And that's what God says when the heat is turned up, when we go through the fire after the finish line, when we finish the race, when our time on earth is done and we stand before God, he says then it's going to be revealed what sort it is. Notice verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, upon what? Upon the foundation. Well, what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. Salvation. Faith in Christ. And so, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Wow, that's amazing. God is so just. He's so just that he's cleaned our slate, and he's preparing with all justice to reward faithful servants of his. God's going to remember things you did back when you were 10 years old as a child of God in Sunday school. Service you did for him. Oh, God knows. And so, he says, he shall receive a reward. But notice verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, there's a reward to be gained, and there's a loss to be suffered. Jesus says, if you suffer the losses now, in a different sense, but if you suffer the losses now, in other words, you lose your life for my sake. You yield your stubborn will. You surrender. You don't go with your will, you go with mine. He says, you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You'll find it with an eternal sense. You'll find something that lasts, something that's gold and silver and precious stones. There's a reward to be gained, and there's a loss to be suffered. But notice now, verse 15 and following. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Remember the context. The judgment seat of Christ. What's going to be burned up? He says, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man... Read the first little sentence there, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. Ooh. Let's say that again. Let no man deceive himself. Let's say that again. Let no man deceive himself. Holiness. We're talking about holiness. We're talking about being rooted in Christ, not only knowing we're saved, but living a life that's worthy. Worthy. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor hath sworn deceitfully. Clean hands and a pure heart. Holiness. And so God says here, let no man deceive himself. Now notice, if you would, maybe a page over in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Please notice verse 1. It is reported commonly, this is the Corinthian church, there was some real challenges in this church. There was some real unholiness. And he says it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not as much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now let's skip forward to verse 4. As the apostle deals with this situation, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan, for the destruction, read those words with me, for the destruction of the flesh. Now read the rest of the verse. That the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow. Wow. We have here, he says that brother, you need to let go of him and let him go his way. Commit him unto Satan. Let him know, don't protect him any longer. Let him know the full brunts of his choices and that kind of thing. And that's a serious matter. He goes on to say, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, the Passover, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of, read the next word, of sincerity and truth. You see, that's what God wants. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for saints washed in the blood of Jesus to live like who they are, rooted in his holiness. Galatians 6 talks about the laws of sowing and reaping, and God says there, be not deceived. Be not deceived. This passage said, let no man deceive himself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, whatever he plants, that shall he also reap or harvest. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's not talking about earning your salvation. It's talking about, you know what, when we sow seeds, in the Spirit, to the Spirit, we reap that which is descriptive of that which lasts eternally. The fruit of spiritual seeds planted in the garden of your life reap eternal living blessings, rewards, things that will be forever enjoyed for all eternity. The law of sowing and reaping. And so let's go over to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Please notice verse 1. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy, say it with me, thy holy hill? Not just in your hill, Lord, your holy hill. He, read verse 2 together with me, would you? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Let's read the last little phrase there. Speaketh the truth in his heart. Again, speaketh the truth in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to, as so many scriptures talk to these ends, take every thought into captivity, unto the captivity of Christ, right? All our thinking, our defeat begins in our thinking. When we don't have our eyes on Christ, when we aren't resting in Him for the holiness, when we aren't, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation, will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When we fail, it's because we took our eyes off Christ. So let's keep our eyes on Christ. That's why we're rooted in His holiness. In His holiness. Speaking the truth in your heart. Holiness is a serious thing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We need to be like Moses and tremble before God's presence. We need to be like Isaiah. Woe unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filling the temple, he stood there with awe. God wants to work a holy work. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Chapter 3 there of Colossians goes on to say, mortify therefore the deeds of the body. And it lists a whole bunch of things. Fornication, evil concupiscence, idolatry, all lists covetousness. Mortify. Render it dead. Mortify therefore the deeds of the body. Colossians 3, about verse 6. And then in that same passage in chapter 3 of Colossians, he says, put off. And he lists another laundry list of dirty laundry. Put it off. Get those clothes off. You see, this holiness right here on number 3, this is active cooperation with God. God is the strength. God is the power. He is the worker. But we must have active cooperation. Just like a person here who needs to get saved, who's here, needs to get saved. There has to be active cooperation with God. God does the saving, but they need to do the trusting. They need to come to God. They need to believe God, and then God will save. And the same is true here. It's with dependence upon the Lord that His holiness, will be formed in our life. One last verse we'll go to here this morning. 2 Corinthians 3. Beginning with verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, say it with me, there is liberty. There's that deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God liberates. He came to set the captives free. He came to break the bonds. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, but we all, with open face. There's this honesty, not hiding stuff. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. And so it says, but with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's power working in me. When I come with open face, when I look into God's eyes, when I look into His Word, when I speak the truth in my heart, there's a holiness, the Spirit of Christ that liberates and frees the bondage of sin shackles. And it brings us into His likeness. Rooted in His holiness. Are you rooted in His holiness? It's a serious matter. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your holy word. I thank You for these sobering and powerful truths, Your living word. And I pray that You'd help us to tremble before Your presence. You are holy. The seraphims sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, continually around the throne. And You are holy. Oh, that we might walk before You humbly, with openness of heart, open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Lord, thank You for what You have done in our lives. Thank You for that we are no longer aliens and enemies and characterized by wicked works. But we are sons, saints, and help us to be faithful brethren. Help us to walk worthy unto all pleasing. May we truly be rooted in Your holiness. May we be as our Father in heaven is perfect, so be ye perfect in all manner of conversation. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.